Do you ever wonder what's happening behind the scenes of the multi-trillion dollar fashion industry? In the new podcast, Fashion People, Puck correspondent and 20-year fashion veteran Lauren Sherman and a rotating cast of industry insiders discuss what fashion people are really talking about behind the scenes of the star-studded business, from creative director switcheroos to M&A drama, DTC downfalls, and Met Gala mishaps. Fashion People, a presentation of Odyssey in partnership with Puck, is available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, if you're listening to this, I will assume you're at least interested in money, understanding the economy, and finances as well. And some of us now want to get the next generation interested as well. So check out Million Bazillion, Marketplace's award-winning kids podcast that breaks down money to help dollars make more sense. Tune into Million Bazillion wherever you find your favorite podcasts. A whole new season is out now. Million Bazillion is presented in partnership with Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Greenlight helps kids and teens learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Get 1 month free and an extra $10 when you sign up for a Greenlight account at greenlight.com/million. Actually, I have a disclaimer and apology to do in my drink section today.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Yep, which I will save for the actual.
Oh, well, then maybe we should start the show.
I guess I'll begin with my apology and disclaimer. Oh, my goodness. Hey, everybody, I'm Kai Rizdahl. It is Friday. Welcome back to Make Me Smart.
Yes, I'm Molly Wood. It is Happy Hour Friday, or as we like to call it, Economics on Tap, which is funny because I never have a beer, but Kai wins this round. The live stream is up and running. Thanks to everyone who joined on Discord or on YouTube. And I was going to say, if you don't know about our Discord channel, our wonderful fans have created one.
Is that an app I have to get?
You have to get that app.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, but it's actually lovely. Okay. It's the perfect chat room, and they've got it all. They've got General. They've got Economics on Tap, a channel just for when you're hanging out on Friday. Smart drinks for drink recipes. Twitter feed, Facebook, and MSSRS. I mean, it's a full-featured situation.
All right. Okay.
It just doesn't have the video, so you have to be over on YouTube for that. And hello.
All right. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay. So we will do what we usually do on a Friday. We'll do the news. We'll do a little half full, half empty. We'll go over what we're drinking. We will ramble a little bit. And then we'll get out of your hair, and it'll probably go like 26 and a half minutes. That would be my guess.
Something like that. Seriously. A lot of links in here.
You know. Mm-hmm. That's right. So what are you drinking?
It's so springtime here today. It's like 70 or 72 degrees. And so I discovered a bunch of tiny little bottles of Prosecco left over from the holidays. So I'm having an Aperol Spritz. And it's
excellent.
Large. It's a grande. It's a grande. We'll see.
That is,
but I'm so excited. Excellent. I even put an orange because you don't have to do a twist with this one. You can just do a slice. So I didn't feel so intimidated by the garnish.
Oh, there you go. All right. Mm-hmm. So I'm having a Browery West Hazy IPA. They're down in San Pedro, which is awesome. Local breweries. I support them. But Bridget Bodner, when you hear this podcast, I'm sorry. Bridget came into the office today. Not today. Sorry. On Monday. And had to pick up a computer and some stuff for Million Bazillion, on which she is going to be working since, let's get the thanks out of the way, all y'all helped contribute $50,000 to get them their second season. So we lose Bridget for a while. We keep down a Tam. Yay. Moving on. She also brought, excuse me, a bottle of bourbon for me, a bottle of Bullet. And I left it at the office. So I don't have that today. I know. Because today would have been a perfect day for a bourbon and ginger ale. Perfect day for a bourbon and ginger ale, right? I mean, it's 65, 70-ish. It would have been. But I blew it. So, Bridget, I'm really sorry.
There's no help in this guy.
Look.
She texted me. She was like, should I leave this in his office? I'm like, that's like the greatest thing I've ever heard.
She did.
It
was super. She was awesome.
Well.
Producer skills of the highest order. And I'm.
Good try.
Oh, and
good
the try, YouTube Bridget. Chat is just not happy with me. There's a lot of okays.
Okay.
You gotta be kidding.
We're not mad. We're just disappointed.
I'm wearing a sweatshirt. It's a thing. I get a dope slap for that. Yes, I do. Anyway, so that's where I am.
All right.
I'll eventually get there.
Fine.
I'll eventually get there. Beer again. Okay.
In the meantime.
So we'll do some news.
Let's do some news. Mm-hmm. What do we got?
Okay. I'll go first. I've got three.
I know,
basically
we're like, who's
going
to go
hits.
First? I'm going to take a drink.
Oh.
Hit it.
All right. I've got three. They're very quick hits. Nothing convoluted. And I'm going to do the depressing one first, and then we can move on. Article in the Financial Times today. Europe warns hospitals are at a breaking point as third COVID wave hits. I don't really think I need to say anything other than that. They've been having huge vaccine distribution problems. There's the AstraZeneca thing. There's a 29 million doses found in Italy in a garage and the blood clots, all that. This is a pandemic is by definition global. And although we're doing well here, please, Europe, get it together. That's all I want to say.
I mean, do you get it together? Because I have been thinking that part of the reason the CDC has been being so cautious is because I think they're really worried about that strain, the B117.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
For sure.
So, yeah.
So we need Europe to get it together. Number two, from Bloomberg City Lab, a story, the headline of which is just amazing. America's obsession with wipes is tearing up sewers systems. So we have all gotten really conscientious about antiseptic wipes and bleachy wipes and cleaning wipes over the past year because, look, we even though fungi transfer is not a thing, we all want to be super careful, and I get that and appreciate it. Don't flush them down the toilet. Larry Hare, who is the supervisor of the sanitation facility at a water reclamation facility in Des Moines, Iowa. Sewer backups are up 50%, and he attributes this to the flushing of wipes. Don't do it.
Oh, come on.
Just don't do it.
Don't do it. It was already a problem with flushable wipes, which are not.
I know. Which are not, by the way. Yeah. 12 months through late January, says Nielsen, sales of these wipes are up 75%. Throw them away. That's it.
Yeah.
Please do that.
Throw them away. And also, just maybe don't. Yeah. I mean, it is amazing to me that all of our American focus is on like wipes when people still don't wear masks correctly and offices are talking about opening up without requiring masks. Yeah. It's like, dude, it's airborne. It's an aerosolized spread. Yeah. It is not on your groceries. No. It's just, it's just exhausting.
Yeah. It's just craziness. And, you know, like Fauci says, just wash your hands more. Just wash your hands more. It'll be fine.
Just wash them and then dry them with a towel and a thing that isn't disposable. Maybe just this one time.
Please.
Yeah.
For the love of Pete. Item number three on my hit parade today, and this is the actual news and business and economics story. The Athletic, which is a sports media outlet, and Axios, which is a hard news outlet devoted mostly to politics, almost entirely to politics, really, with some business thrown in. Are talking about a merger and maybe going public through a SPAC, which we've talked about on this podcast before, a special purpose acquisition company, which will feed into Molly's next item. But this is really interesting because it's a couple of digital first outlets thinking about combining and talking about a way to make money as a digital news enterprise, which can be, as we know, tricky. So I think keep an eye on this one. They're both really popular. They're going gangbusters. You may actually be able to buy shares at some point if they do the SPAC thing. Really, really conceivably monumental news story, the business of journalism. Anyway, that's what
I definitely,
got.
I mean,
three.
It is the question of journalism. Would this be the first time, because there's been a lot of consolidation in that digital media space. You know, there were all these companies who got like a ton of venture funding and then all of a sudden had to start making money and have been buying each other a lot. Would this be the first one other than, I guess, HuffPo, which is in the sort of whatever universe, Verizon, that would be public as a standalone journalism entity, I wonder?
Yeah, so far.
That would be a big deal.
Right?
Yeah.
So far.
So far.
Yeah, standalone, journalism, digital only, all that jazz. So, I mean, get on board or get out of the way, you know, truly. Truly. Okay, so those are mine. That's what I got.
With SPACs or journalism? Wait. You can't just drop that. Get on board with what now?
Get on board with, sorry. Get on board with digital and digital first and this being the way it is. Yeah. But look, there are a lot of challenges with this, right? Athletic is paid. Axios is free. So is Axios going to become paid or is Athletic going to become free? I mean, I don't know.
Right.
You know, there's a lot going on here.
The reason that they're consolidating is no one has cracked the nut on,
right.
I mean, the journalism business model, right? This is not to be too self-serving, but a thing that we talk about all the time. And if the business model is going to be consolidate, and eventually become bought by Verizon.
Right.
Right. Or go public in a SPAC and hope for the best, and right, paywall versus
all that stuff.
Yeah, this I mean, this is the story of our time, especially with the social media pressures, and should they pay publishers and all of that stuff. But I have a story of a SPAC is
oh, I know, I love this.
That is just totally different. In case you were thinking that, you know what the world needs is a WeWork comeback, but with way less oversight, then I have got the story for you, which is that WeWork, I mean, this is like, if there were framers of the SEC, this is the nightmare scenario they imagined. WeWork has agreed to go public through a merger with blank check firm BoX Acquisition Corp. in a deal that values the office sharing startup at, let me throw my dart here, $9 billion. Sure, yeah. Including debt. Yeah. Whatever. Now, that's down from their $47 billion. But I just, I mean, the words like WeWork and blank check, just, and then the idea that this, I believe I used the metaphor, you know, sneaking people into the party to refer how the SPAC works. Sneaking this guy into the party, he is gonna trash your living room. Like, I'm sorry. He's going to pee in your plants. Like, this is not the dude to sneak into the party. This made me laugh so hard.
Yeah.
So you got to be kidding me.
It's crazy.
You got to be kidding me. And then those of you who follow me on Twitter will see that I posted earlier today that if by the concept that the companies that understand the most about virality and viral growth and exponential growth – if those are the metric for how to handle the virus, and in many ways they have been, right? Those were the companies that shut down soonest. Google, Facebook, Apple were like, get out of the office. We can see this train coming because we have modeled it with the like button, and it's not going to be pretty. So if that is the metric by which you should judge the spread of the virus, notwithstanding what is happening in Europe, and we hope and pray they get that vaccine situation under control, Uber and Facebook are reopening their offices in the Bay Area. Microsoft has announced a hybrid return to work. But the fact that Facebook said it's going to start its reopening on May 10th, I think is a big deal. 10% capacity right now, as long as health data continues to improve. Workers can choose whether to come back. So it's not a, like a, you know, throw open the gates, Katie bar the door situation. But it does tell you that at least in the mind of, you know, the math nerds at Facebook, they think we're getting to the point where it's safe to do this. And I just feel like this is their whole job, is to understand viral growth. And so in a weird way, that could be construed as good news. The pandemic is over.
So let me ask you this. So two things. Number one, are all y'all up there prepared to deal with the traffic that's going to happen? Because Bay Area traffic was heinous before, and I imagine it's gotten less heinous. I will tell you that LA area traffic is now back to normal. Took me, you know, half an hour to get home, which on the scheme of things is nothing, but it used to take me 12 minutes to get home because I have to go downtown because my internet service provider sucks, but that's a whole different story. Yeah.
It's
spectrum. So traffic is back.
Yeah, I'm not letting you get away with that. Like, it's shocking. I'm sorry. Like, just call him out, man. I do. So a couple interesting things about the Facebook reopening actually include this. One, no transit. They will not be providing their fancy free buses from around the Bay Area to Silicon Valley.
That's big.
So that is going to be significant. And even if it's only 10% capacity, I would imagine that's going to be a significant increase in traffic. They're also not providing the free food that they used to provide.
Oh, wow.
And the reason I mention that is because Facebook, not that many people are familiar with where Facebook is located. It's essentially in a on a like rapidly sinking peninsula.
It's like a
in the middle of nowhere.
Bog or something. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty much in a bog at the like foot of a bridge and there's nothing around it. Like there's nowhere to eat around Facebook. There's nowhere to like pop over and get a burrito that's nearby.
Yeah.
And so I actually feel like all the people who have to go back are just going to be like, yeah, we decided we're going to stay home.
Yeah.
But no, I'm not excited for the traffic to return. It's been creeping back and I'm you know. But I do feel like I'm just really interested to see as offices open up. Microsoft was very clear that it's a hybrid model. Facebook was like, you can choose until July 2nd. I don't know what's going to happen after that. I'm really curious. I think a lot of employees are going to, plenty of people are going to be excited to go back to the office for all of the reasons mm-hmm. that they like to be in the office. It's social and you can get a lot mm-hmm. done. You can shout down the hall and whatever. But I think there are going to be a lot of people who are like, I'm sorry, I spend how much time commuting? This is just a waste of my time and it's miserable. And I was doing this and I never questioned it. And now I question.
One does wonder what American public media will decide to do. But that's a conversation for another time. Can I ask you another question since it's Friday and you know, time has no meaning?
We're having drinks.
Okay, yeah. So look, this is a little sideways and we didn't talk about this and I'm going to catch you off guard, but whatevs, you're a trained audio professional. Could you give me a minute on the Jack Dorsey, Sundar Pichai, Mark Zuckerberg hearing of yesterday? And let me preface this by saying this. You were set to go on CNBC to do some analysis for them, and they bailed on you in favor of what I think was like 3 hours out of a 5.5 hour hearing, and it was killing me. It was terrible. And so what was the upshot of that hearing? Anything?
Thanks, man. That, by the way, what Kai just said, that's why my hair looks so good today, because I did a blow dry yesterday. So you are all benefiting from my TV hair. I think that, let me just take a minute to make this about me and then I will return to your question, which was, so yes, these hearings are increasingly absurd. I believe the last time there were some of these hearings, we, you know, the takeaway for me was like, just quit having hearings and make a law.
Yes.
Although I will say, and I think we are now to the point where some action needs to be taken. Like, this is increasingly absurd. And obviously these CEOs, out of some sense of shame or the goodness of their hearts or something, like, they're not gonna volunteer for this. Side note, Amazon tweets. Whoa.
Right.
Has anybody been following the Amazon news tweets today, sort of in and at toward Elizabeth Warren about paying taxes? Like, these companies not only, and I bring that up as only sort of a side note, not only are they not going to do this out of the goodness of their hearts, but if you heard any of Mark Zuckerberg's testimony yesterday, you started to realize that, in fact, they are starting to get angry. They're starting to get tired of being blamed for all of these things. And Mark Zuckerberg was like, look, the problem is humanity and the media, and we're like a vector for all of that. We're a conduit for all of that, which is, you know, an artful dodge, but not 100% untrue. Now, all of that said, though, I do think that the more hearings we've had, and yesterday was emblematic of this, some of the questions and the understanding of the problems have evolved and gotten a lot better. Like, they do start to see now that the problem is the algorithm, right? It's the business model. It's the auto-generation of right-wing militia pages. And which, I mean, you can imagine if a report came out that said that Facebook was auto-generating pages for ISIS sects, for example, there would be hell to pay. So I actually think that the understanding of the issues is evolving. We may be getting closer to action. We should not have another one of these hearings.
Okay.
I don't know what the purpose of that is
at all.
Yeah.
No, it's show, right? It's performative outrage on the part of politicians who would rather have performative outrage than actually figure out a solution, whether it's 230 or what have you. They would much rather beat up on Mark Zuckerberg and Jack Dorsey and Sundar Pichai. Okay. Right. All right. Thank you for that.
I appreciate that. It got better. There was less performance
and
more substance.
Yeah, I think that's true. Yeah. They're way, way better informed now. And it's been a pretty quick learning curve, right? I mean, it's less than 2 years now since Orrin Hatch went, how do you make money? So that's good. That's good.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Anyway.
We're making progress. It's just too slow. It's just too slow.
Yes. Drew.
All right,
Drew
Jocelyn, shall we?
Save us. All right, let's go. Half full, half empty. Drew's got the topics. Yep. Drew's got the topics. We've got the predictions, or the answers anyway.
Are you half full or half empty on Prince Harry as Chief Impact Officer?
I love this.
And are you kidding? And what?
I don't know. I'm going to look up the company.
All right, I got a joke to make, but I don't have a substantive answer to this one.
Prince Harry took a new job. It's like a firm that does some good stuff or something. Better Up, which is a company that offers professional and mental health coaching. So that's lovely. in no way should this be considered like a job. Like other people have had the job of chief impact officer, and it kind of just means like you do some fancy marketing.
Right.
But I like that he's trying to signal, especially in the wake of that interview, that mental health is important. So if he was going to pick a Silicon Valley company to align with, I'm half full on this one.
Okay. I have no substantive comment other than a joke. So this went, this happened the other day, and somebody said, Chief Impact Officer, what the hell kind of job title is that? And somebody on Twitter, and I apologize, I don't know who it was, said, well, his previous job title was Duke of Sussex, Earl of Dumbarton, and Baron Kilkeel. So I'd say it's a step up. You know, so there you go.
That's good, yeah. See, you're half full too. Yeah.
There you go.
Apparently, we even did a story about this, and I missed it, so keep going.
Who knows?
How are you feeling about movies without popcorn?
I hate that popcorn. I hate that popcorn.
Who are you even?
I can say that.
When
I'm allowed to say
fun?
That. This is my podcast, too. I have no fun. Have you met me?
I love the popcorn, and I'm heartbroken about it. I'm half empty on this. I don't know if I can go to the movies until there's popcorn back. I mean, why?
This is two in a row.
I will give you my $20, and you give me a cup and a half of popcorn seeds with some chemicals on them, and I'll be happy. Yeah. Until then, no.
Wow, okay.
Apparently, I have really strong feelings on these things that Kai doesn't care at all about.
Clearly.
Fingers crossed for the next one.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear your strong feelings on Peeps-flavored Pepsi.
Oh, I saw that today. So Peeps and Pepsi are teaming up with a Peeps-flavored Pepsi for Easter, which is apparently like around the corner. I'm going to be consistent. No opinion. Zero.
How? What? Come on. You're not even trying.
Also,
imagine a Peep. And now imagine a Pepsi and just think in your brain if you want those things to go together in your face.
Okay, fine. Half empty. Boom, done.
Mm-hmm.
Also, sorry.
I knew that's how it was going to turn out.
I had to deal with them. Yeah. Well, what do you say?
Gross. Half empty. It's disgusting.
Okay, half empty.
Dude, we all need to go back to work just so like weird food mix-ups can end. The food mashup thing has got to end.
That's right.
All right, what else?
Are you half full or half empty on inflation?
Oh, God. So
we're like, wait, this is really serious.
It is super serious, and inflation could happen. But right now, do I have to explain it to anybody listening to this podcast? I don't think I do. If I do, send us a voice memo, makemesmart@marketplace.org, and yell at me. But look, I'm half empty for right now. I'm in the Jay Powell camp, right? There are 9.5 million people out of work. The primary driver of inflation is wage pressure. And until you get 9.5 people back in the workforce, inflation's not going to be a big deal. Are there going to be spikes? Yes. Will it be transient? Yes. Is it going to be sustained? No. Half empty on inflation. Also, I'm so sick and tired of talking about inflation, and I blame Larry Summers. God, that was a good rant. That was a good rant.
I know.
Yeah.
A little golf clap for you, sir. I too am what Kai said. Also, I'm half empty. I'm half empty on people trying to make it happen. Like, I feel like this is one of those things. Remember when we were like, I think we're going to have a recession because we started talking about it. Like, stop trying to make inflation happen, investors who don't want your money to get more expensive.
Get a load of you. Money is more expensive. That's exactly right.
Thanks, man. Okay. I love today. All right. Is that it, or do we have more?
We've made it this far without discussing The Ever Given.
Oh, I love that story. I'm so half full. I could take that story all day. The ship in the Suez Canal. I could take it all day.
I am half empty on that ship ever getting out of the Suez Canal. I actually think that the Action Jackson guy from Twitter might be right. They might have to blow that sucker up. Like, I don't know,
blow it up or get some sky crane in there to take all 20,000 containers off so it floats again. I don't know. It's an amazing story. I love that story so much. Or saw it in half. Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like I saw some movie where love there was like a super amazing material that sawed it in half. Yeah, no. I mean, that thing's going nowhere. Yeah. And weirdly, even though that should mean half empty, it means half full because more boat for us. More boat stories.
Yeah.
Can't get enough. Yeah.
So look, Tony, if you're listening, and I hope you are, go to my Twitter feed. I retweeted a guy who did a traffic report as if it was the Suez Canal, or the Suez Canal as if it was a traffic report. It's hysterical. It is hysterical.
We actually
put it on the show.
We missed the snap because we should have pulled that audio for today's show because it is unbelievable. He's like, yep, you're going to have to go down around Africa. It's going to take you about 10 days, but it'll save you the 5 or 6 days in that back. Oh, my God. It's amazing. Yeah. It's beautiful.
You got the right lane or the left lane going around Madagascar. That's going to be all right. Nothing going on in the Great Bitter Lake, though. It's all taillights, all red. It was fascinating. It was great. It was so fun.
It's anyway. So good. So I guess both for both. And that's it for our game today.
Boom. Done. Oh, my Lordy B. There we go.
I love this show. I love it. That is it for us today. We will be back next week, we think, unless we got ourselves fired today somehow. For now, however, questions and comments. I feel like you
just
never know.
Let us know.
Anything could happen. We just like... Words come out. Hope for the best. Questions, comments, make me smart.
Drew just started the music. Drew got the hook.
I'm going to save my butt.
That was pretty funny.
Save my butt. Aperol is a very low alcohol drink.
Sure it is. Sure it is. Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Marissa Cabrera. Tony Wagner does all kinds of production stuff, digital, analog, and everything in between. Stephen Bion does video production for us. Erica Phillips writes our newsletters, also does our Make Me Smart explainers that I did this week.
Stephen Bion, I think, is today's special shout out for making this live stream happen, innovating on it, making it all cool and awesome. Thanks for making it happen, buddy. We appreciate you. Today's program was engineered by our co-star, Drew Jostad, the best, Ben Tolliday, and Daniel Ramirez composed our theme music. The senior producer. Yeah.
I just had such a good idea. You know, go ahead and then when you're done, because we got time to
Okay. Okay. The senior producer is Donna Tam and the executive director of On Demand is Tarni Evans. What you got, man?
We have to get Drew on camera. We have to put a webcam in the studio so that Drew can be on camera.
That's true. That's
get a
true.
Load of that.
Sorry,
I can
Drew.
Produce and host. I host and produce. I produce and host. Boom.
Strong communication skills are critical for success in business and in life. Hi. I'm Matt Abrahams, and I host Stanford Graduate School of Business's Think Fast, Talk Smart, the podcast. Each week, I sit down with experts to discuss the best tips to help you with your communication skills, from conflict management to mastering small talk to tackling communication anxiety. Join us and start to develop and hone your communication skills. Listen every Tuesday wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube.